Om Shanti then. Now yes. So my name is Marcelo. I'm with Baba for more than 30 years. I took knowledge in my homeland, Brazil, but I live in Colombia almost for 25 years now. So, and I'm here. The idea of the class today is helping us understanding the general journey we are all in. And that song is very beautiful. Last March, Sister Genty gave a class and she translated that song. I think that was the first time, I think the only time, she translated a song. And she mentioned here in her class, there is one part of the song that says, Merakuda Barahe, my God is great. So no matter how many problems, storms come, no matter how big they are, my God is still greater than them. And everyone in this hall, everyone in this Brahmin family, we are all facing many challenges. We are all facing many impossible tasks. Everyone here, can you remember the last time you faced an impossible task? I'm sure that everyone here has had at least once in your life one situation that you look at the situation in the eyes and you said to yourself, I can't. This is impossible. And yet, I'm sure that many of those situations, if not most of them, you were able to face, to overcome, to conquer. So, how did we do that? That's the big question. Because, you know, if you know the formula, no, you should replicate the formula later, right? Because sometimes Brahmin life is like a video game, you know. They don't have video games anymore, games in internet. So every time you accomplish one level, what happens? You pass to another level, which is worse, more difficult, longer or faster. So how do I really do that? So that's what we want to talk today. And one of the things we did, the team that is organizing the programs in Madhuban, I hope you enjoy the programs, was to sit down and think about the journey, this trip we are taking, our spiritual journey, but specifically, particularly, Madhuban. So we thought about 9 steps, and you can see them all in front of Global Office, so I won't bother you with the details. But for any journey you have to start from, you have to start. So we start from Om. No? So we enter the journey from Om, from I Am. But from there, you have to center yourself. Then you have to explore. Then you discover many things. But after that, you have to uncover also. You have to reveal some secrets you have there. And you have to experiment and experience. You have to do things with those things. Then you connect. You realize, you heal. After that, what happens? Realization, deep one. Then you go into, after realization, you go into being. And then you go into Om Shanti, which is now, at the end of our small journey in Madhuban. This is our Om Shanti stage. Then we have to go back to Om. You have to restart all over again when you go back there. When you go back to your home. And yesterday we had an interesting class in the morning about the 21 things you have to change, you know, in yourself, so that you have a whole restructuration of your life in terms of spirituality. Then in the evening we saw the big picture of the cycle. But today I want to pinpoint one thing, one aspect, that's the impossibilities in Brahmi life. And I think I have a little authority with that, because I have had so many impossible things. I think I could write a book only about my impossible things. And I did write a book on that, in fact, relating most of the impossible things I had to cross, I had to come with. And I realized, I was thinking about them, so I realized that out of all those impossible things, all those things that either you thought it was impossible, even though everybody else said, it's possible, you can do it, or people thought it was impossible, but you thought it was possible, or you didn't consider much, or you and people considered they were impossible. So no matter how you see an impossible situation, I think there is a big, big quantity of impossible situations in our lives that we are able to go through them with success. Right? Everyone here had at least one. 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you remember? Situations that were impossible. It was a big thing there, a monster in your life, you know. You didn't have the resource, you didn't have how to. It's like those old-fashioned movies from the 70s and 80s, no? Where the hero just go with a little knife and he was able to kill a monster and defeat everyone. And you could. And you are able to. And you look behind. Sometimes you see, you start to think, why did I think it was impossible, really? I don't remember. I really don't remember. But you were able to have success. So I have many stories of myself, but I would like to pick one story from the Yagya in general. Because this organization is an impossible organization, right? I mean, it's run by woman, come on, right? People say, no, woman, they can't run anything. And look at this. Look at how big this is. How great this is. Right? So this is an impossible organization. It's an organization that shouldn't exist. Shouldn't have come to Brazil, Colombia, which else? Vietnam, Sri Lanka. Well, that's very close. That's okay. Suriname, impossible. Well, Florida, United States, is full of Indians anyway, so that's quite possible. But so I remember one place I went to visit. It was in Bombay. During many years, I used to go there for service. No, during the time of Sister Usha. Don't know, some of you have met her. So every time I used to go, they used to prepare some programs for me. So one day they took me to another center. And to say a center is like stretching a little bit the concept of a center. Because in fact was a small room. I tell you, was this, I think from here before the floor. And to there, and there, and there. It was like a square. It was so small, extremely tiny. A couple lived there, plus the father of one of them. The three of them lived there. They cooked there. Only the bathroom was kind of outside. I didn't ask. But it was just that space. And they made jokes on that because they said, Jagdish Bhai, you know, our senior brother, once went there. And he said, this is in fact the three words. Why? Because it was that square. So they have a mezzanine, you say? You know, this, like a middle floor, no? A mezzanine, which is also stretching the concept of a mezzanine because it was just a wood there. Okay? So that the couple could sleep, or the brothers, no? The two slept, I think, on the floor and the sister slept there. And there could be also used for class. So there was a stair, so they used to go there, and they could sleep there, sit there and attend the class. And then there was a third level where they put all their stuff, everything there. However, when I went there, it was to inaugurate the new room. Of course, that place would be still their house. I guess now it's changed. I haven't been to that place for many years. But the new room was the size of this stage, much bigger, all in marble, first class. And it was just opposite to where they were. So they were like there. That was the room, which would be used for them as their house, showing their renunciation so deep, so much love for God. And there would be the Baba's center proper. And that for me touched my heart. I mean, and it was not much the expansion, you know, because that was interesting. For me, the impossibility there was not much that from such a small place they were able to get a very elegant, a new room, much bigger. But their heart, you know, how their heart was as big as that hall, maybe much more. Because when we look into impossible situations or circumstances, scenes in life, in drama, we focus too much in the difficulties. We focus a lot in the problems and adverse situations. And especially the Western mind, we're expert. If there is no problem, we find one. You know, that's the work of philosophers, okay? They are expert in finding problems somewhere. There is always a problem there, you know? There is always an issue, always a situation, always something bad that you have to solve. I guess most of us who work with something, our job is to prevent problems or to solve problems. No problems, no job. Right? So for me, the formula there was not so much get more money, was not so much do lots of service tirelessly, but it was the energy behind, that energy, that dedication, that spiritual power. Because that's really the only thing that can move mountains. So that the impossible, you can get success. If you don't cultivate, you know, because that love, that energy, you have to work a little bit. You have to work its muscles, you know, its energy. You have to apply that. You have to have the faith. You have to have many other things. But it's that love we have to work in life. And I have seen with my own eyes, you know, with more than 30 years, so many souls that faced situations that were impossible. But because they have that love, that energy, the impossible turned into a success, turned into something possible. They overcame it. They were able to cross the barrier and go to the other side. I still remember the time I went to Madhuban first time. And I tell you, even though I have come to Madhuban, I don't know how many times, I still feel like the first time. But the first time was impossible for me to come to Madhuban. The ticket, the price was $2,000, which is nowadays about 130,000 rupees. And I was earning per month, I was earning $150. $100 went to the rent, so I had $50 for everything else. So I really don't know how I made it. But the love was there, you know, that feeling that I have to go, I have to go, I have to go, I have to go. And I remember that because it's not similar to now, but there was one situation. In 86, I think March or April, Wadi Ben probably remember very well, Baba said he wouldn't come in the next season, 86, 87. And I felt like, oh, Baba, I haven't ever been to Madhuban, so I felt I missed a big chance. And I remember one sister who is here in Madhuban now, and she came from Madhuban, and she told me, go, you have to go. Baba gave a wonderful mole that time. He said, Baba is in every particle in Madhuban. So if you come, you feel Baba everywhere. He's not omnipresent, okay? Don't say I said that. It's just Baba said the energy, that power, that love, that remembrance is in everywhere. And that sister, I don't know if she realizes, she was my main motivator to come to Madhuban. But I was earning $50 per month. The story is very long, how I got the money. But I got the money from the most unusual places. And it was so unusual and so impossible that when I had the money to pay the ticket, I realized I didn't have a passport. I didn't have anything. So I read, I was about to travel 2 or 3 days, and I was running around the whole town, going after this, going after that. I couldn't get my passport because I had to do something before and do something. It was like, but it was that love that brought me to Madhuban. Because Baba came finally. He came 31st December 86. He stayed from 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m. up to 10:30 a.m. That was unique. So, the impossible is possible if you work on that love. Because that love we all have. But we have to work a little bit on it. You have to, you know, put in a pot and put some water, you know, take care of that love. You have to make it grow. This is why every time I come to Madhuban, it's like the first time. I really feel that energy coming. I don't run after money so much anymore, but still I feel like, wow, I'm going and going, and that's wonderful. And that's the main attainment when you overcome an impossible situation with total success. You keep the enthusiasm. You keep that energy alive almost forever. Then there is a second level. You do overcome an impossible situation, but not with total success. The easiest and probably the most common example is stress. When you are faced with an impossible situation, you get stressed. You get like this, tired, burned out. You you start to feel bad, you don't enjoy. You don't enjoy. Okay? And that's very important to understand. Why? Because success doesn't mean really success. Doesn't mean really that you did something or you got something. Sometimes success is hidden. And Baba used to say that in Murli's too. Sometimes success is not obvious, it's not emerged. It's merged. And you don't realize you are being successful. Even though you are. Because of course you are with so much stress, or you feel pain, you feel something bad is happening around you, that at that moment, you really don't realize what's going on that's beautiful. You don't realize the beauty, because, again, many of us, we have been trained to see the worst and to work on the worst. If we are in Kali Yuga lives from showing you the beautiful, but in comparison to the bad, to the horrible. Okay, so they sell you makeup because you are ugly. No, that's the hidden message behind, right? You are ugly, so buy this. In some countries, they sell creams to be whiter. Oh, in Brazil and many parts of the United States, they want to be darker. Okay, so it's funny. It's funny. Kali Yuga is like that. When they open a hospital, they are telling you, we want you to be sick. So that's how Kali Yuga works a little bit. It's a very hidden message. But there is another hidden message, which is the success behind the failure. And there is a wonderful speech. It's by an author. I admire her a lot. Her name is J.K. Rowling. And she wrote a famous book. I don't know if you have heard about, yeah? Harry Potter and the whole series. And she gave a whole speech on failure and the importance of failure. You can go into YouTube and you can watch it. It's very nice. And for me, it was very important, that lecture, because I feel I failed so many times in my life. So many times. I was remembering a little failure I had. One of my personal desires was to learn English. I came from a very low background, family in terms of background, you know, not low class, but very, very low. Very little money, so to learn English was impossible. It was something very difficult. So when I came to before coming to Madhuban, I started to apply the little English I had by translating the Murlis. It was a wonderful exercise. If you want to learn languages, try to translate the Murli. It's very good. So when I came to Madhuban first time, I did an effort. I tried to not listen to the translators. So I tried to go direct into English as much as possible, trying to understand that, trying to grasp the meaning. But it took me many years to learn. So one day, many meetings later, many seasons later, Dadi Kumaka, she made an announcement. And that's a very interesting process of the history of our Yagya. Because the Yagya believed the destruction was when? What event? 7-6. And so from there they start to believe it's 7-7, 7-8, 7-9. Every time they believed the destruction would be next year or next month or very soon. One day, Dadi Kumarka, Dadi Prakashmani, no, everyone called her like that now. So Dadi Kumarka, she she was a visionary. She was excellent as a leader. It was fascinating. She decided to do something that was a little polemic. You know, polemic when people don't agree. She bought coal for burning, no? Coal for burning. For 10 years. That was a scandal. So, to buy such a quantity of coal for burning for the heaters and everything else that's being used for 10 years, if destruction will be in 1 year. Okay, 2 years. That was beginning of the 90s or 89 or something like that. So, of course, that coal was not enough. but that time was a little problem. And Dadi Kumarka, she apologized. She said, "I'm sorry, but I do feel we should have it." So that was her impossible thing. My impossible thing was that I didn't understand coal. I understand cow. You know? Moo. No, and so instead of burning, I understood. So she said the number of tons. I think it was 10 tons. And I thought, 10 tons of cows. And I used to think, what is that? And I was surrounded by other brothers who didn't understand much English as myself. So they we all believed it was cows. And we used to look at cows, no? We used to stay in Pandavabhavan, so there were lots of cows at that time. Not many now, but lots of cows. So we used to look at a cow and think how many cows correspond to 10 tons of cows. Later we realized our big error, no? But that was so important for me to learn my English. I really think it's impossible for you to learn something if you don't make mistakes. I guess Daddy Jenki wouldn't agree with that. But even Mama said she used to make mistakes once. That's fine. But that mistake, probably she made other mistakes. The thing is, what do you do with the error or the failure or the problem you didn't solve completely? You got stressed because you did something. Okay, what did you do with that stress? Oh, you lost a friend because you became Brahmin. You told your friend, "I'm sorry, I cannot eat your food because you are impure." And you said with lots of love in your heart, you lost that friend. What did you learn from that? Because you know, success doesn't mean success. Success doesn't mean necessarily that you are succeeding with something. Maybe you fail. Maybe you reprove, you don't approve. It's not good. But you get something in return. And you are able to work on that. And you are humble to accept, yes, I've made a mistake, I failed, sorry about that. Let's move on. Because if I don't move on, then that failure will become a failure. If I don't move on, that thing I did, that lesson I could have learned and I didn't learn, won't make me move. It will just make me get stuck. And I won't be able to progress. And it will be even worse than a normal and common failure because I had the chance to be successful. It was an impossible situation, but I had a chance. I knew a little English. Dadi Kumarka, she had a mentality of management, so she could solve that. But if you don't do it, it's even worse. So I want you to think about those impossible situations that you didn't fully succeed. Maybe you had stress, maybe you got success, but everybody else got against you. They start to oppose you. Maybe you are happy and people are or you are grumpy, you know. So something happened with that. So think about and just ask yourself right now. Just let us ask Baba even. What's my lesson here? What did I learn here? Because you know, as soon as we turn the problem into a solution, the error into a lesson. I'm turning something bad and smelly into a rose, into something beautiful, something that's just waiting for me. In fact, what is golden age, really? Golden age means that Iron Age failed. It was a big failure in the civilization. We failed completely. Nobody believes in our rulers anymore, right? Most of the countries, people, it's funny, no? People vote and they don't believe in those they voted. Most of the places, they don't believe in their economy anymore. They don't believe in their social structure. The whole world is in upheaval. And Kali Yuga is going to fail. And that failure, from that failure will come a total new, beautiful, wonderful, perfect civilization. Okay, we look from a spiritual point of view, but if you think in a secular point of view, they have learned something. This is why when Golden Age starts, we don't repeat the same mistakes. We don't repeat the same errors. Because those people who start our civilization, the advanced party especially, the ones who create the structure, the social, political, economical structure, they have learned something. And they are not going to repeat it. So it's okay. So if you had many problems in your life, failures, think that, oh, I couldn't do this, oh, I lost that, this happened, embrace it. Accept it with love and just understand what's the lesson here. What should I learn there? What should I learn with this? To learn a language, you have to make so many mistakes. To learn to walk, how many times we have to fall until one point that you say, oh, I'm walking. And how many Amriti Velas we have badly to really, really experience the most powerful Amriti Vela in my life. But then we come to the third category of impossible situations. And these are the impossible situations that, guess what? They are still impossible. Sorry, you couldn't get over them. You couldn't cross over, you couldn't surround, it's there. It's the big elephant that's in your room waiting for you every day. You hide the elephant, you know, you put something there, a curtain, but it is still there. And unfortunately, many, many Brahmins, we have those situations. Just now in one center, they suggest a lecture which was saying how to heal the wounds in the soul. But I said, the soul doesn't have wounds, really. The soul really is not hurt. But there are situations in our life, and if you think in the big picture, in many lives, situations that we really couldn't solve. We really couldn't overcome them. How to deal with them? Normally we ignore, we just put a hug there or something to hide it. We don't talk to anybody. But what to do about that? Because it is still there. It is still that problem. And that problem, a problem that isn't solved. And normally they give you fail, right? I mean, if you do a test and you don't solve a problem at all, you don't write anything, you got the same mark as another problem that you did wrong. So it's the same. So what do you have to do about it? And I have in my life, I recognize I have some situations. And what I can share is what I am doing with that. And looking at how the journey from Om to Om Shanti is going. I think for me it's very, very important that I realize my potential, my strength, but also my weaknesses. I try to be very honest with myself. I'm sure I'm not totally honest, but I make my best in that. And recognize that I have many things that are not okay, are not right. And they come from those impossible situations. Normally they are the root, or at least the apparent, the obvious, the root that I see from those weaknesses. And they are there. So I have to work that out a little bit. And yes, some people, they have to go to help. They have to look for help from health, from medicine, from many professionals that are around, and they will give you help. What I did was, for me, and that was very important, was to accept those impossible situations that I couldn't overcome. That means those weaknesses that I can't transform. And I accept them as part of my life, as part of myself. And I use a very nice, at least for me, metaphor. I don't know if you have watched now there is a movie, but there was a cartoon by the name The Beauty and the Beast, okay, from Walt Disney. That was an old, very old cartoon. So in that cartoon, there was the story about this beautiful girl and this monster there. And at the end, right at the end, the beauty starts to fall in love with this beast, with this horrible creature. And because she loved the beast also becomes a beauty. I mean, the beast also becomes beautiful. And I have seen that by touching some things that they were impossible in my life, I was able to turn them into something beautiful. They are still there. So my mother, she separated from my father when I was 3 years old. is probably this size. And she did in such a way that I never saw my father. When I was over 40, I was in São Paulo. I was already living in Colombia. So I was visiting São Paulo. My mother came to the center to take farewell from me. I was going to the airport. She brought me my favorite food. And this kind of things that only mothers do. And then I asked about my father. Because I was having, at that point, I was having a feeling that I don't want to go back, I don't want to do anything. But I'm a Brahmin. I'm the only, maybe, karmic connection he has with Baba. So if I'm not touching him, if I'm not getting in touch with him, how would he know, or whatever family he has created, about that? That was my feeling. So my mother said she didn't have any detail from him, but she gave my uncle's name. Well, you check in internet, and I found my uncle. And it was interesting. I mean, I couldn't do anything with my father again. I was a little old, right? Okay, so it was difficult to reenact anything that I missed in my life. But what I could do was, first of all, I was able to bring my uncle here to Madhuban, to Gyan Sarovar. So he came with his wife, her sister, and a friend of them. So they stayed for peace of mind during 1 week. The second thing is, they all want to meet me. I had three sisters with him, so he had three daughters. They all had husbands, children. It's a whole multitude. I mean, with my mother, it's only my mother, myself, and my sister. Nobody knows. Now my sister has a husband, but it's very small family. Now it was a huge family. So I was in the retreat place in São Paulo. So they all came to see me. It was beautiful. It was 12. No, 17. We are all 17. And they all came, they had lunch. Most of them, first time in their lives, they were having a vegetarian lunch. In a good Brazilian, right? Eats meat three times a day. So you can imagine. And they loved it. They really loved. They loved the vibration. They loved the place. They loved the sisters. They loved everything. And I felt, yes, I cannot go back. I'm not going to a psychologist who will teach me how to hug my father. But I can move forward. I can move. I can go onwards with that. I can just accept. And I think the master of impossibilities is our sweet young director, Daddy Janki. Very young lady, only 100, 2, 1, 3, depend on how you, with whom you talk to. It's impossible that she's there. Really, it's impossible. When I was taking the course, I was just taking the, it was 1 week, you know, at that time 7 days. I didn't know anything. And some people came from Madhuban, so they pushed us, kind of pushed me there inside the hall. And they were all talking about Baba. I didn't understand anything. Cicero. No, you remember Cicero. And they were talking about Daddy Janki. And this brother, he was a doctor. And so he told us, she won't let last much. We are talking about 35 years ago. So Daddy Janki is impossible. she's not here, you know. And one thing Daddy doesn't do, even so now she's admitting she's old, because beforehand she didn't admit she was old, remember? And nobody could say she was sick. No, I remember Mandaben was translated to her and saying, "Daddy is sick." "No, I'm not sick." No. And nowadays she admits she's sick, admits she's old, but she doesn't go back. You know, she doesn't go and try to go back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Wadi. Oh, she's leaving today to Bombay to see Daddy Guzar. Yeah, that's our sweet young daddy. And when I see Daddy, I see she's like a moving idol, you know? A moving murti, you know, it's amazing. It's really amazing. And the trick here is not much about learning a lesson. The trick here that I see from Daddy is not thinking about the lesson. It's not thinking about what happened. And not ignoring either. Just move on. Just work on that. Just make things work. And let's see what happens. Let's see the wonders. Let's see the marvelous things that life wants to give us. Because when you had a partial success, okay, you go and you learn the lesson. But if you didn't have any success with that, move on and you'll see many successes. You will see many conquests in your life. Things that you didn't even realize you did. Things you never realized in yourself that. So, okay, if you had to go to a professional and talk to that professional and do it, but also complement with just embracing, just accepting. Accepting what I never had. Accepting what I lost. Accepting what they did to me. Accepting what I couldn't do. And just embracing. That's part of who I am. It's part of what's my reality. In the big picture, in the big cycle Kenbai was showing yesterday, he was saying, about sometimes we feel that the karmic situation is greater than us. But then we have to remind ourselves that no, Merakuda Barahe, my God, is great. And Baba has accepted me. I was just remembering this time. I was walking Pandav Bhavan. It was amazing, the feeling of going back to those years we used to go to Pandav Bhavan. There was only Pandav Bhavan. I was going even earlier when I just came into this knowledge. And I was trying to understand what was going on. You know, Denise Bent, she had a wonderful class where she was saying that all of us Brahmins, we need that sense of belonging. And that's a kind of a struggle we have when we come into Gyan, or even when you come into Madhuban, even when you go into a room here in Madhuban, you have to see the belonging, no? You have to see, where do I put my luggage? Where do I put? Is it possible that the brother or the sister will feel upset if I switch on the light now, 2 a.m. in the morning? Okay. So we have that struggle, we have that process. And when I came to knowledge, I came with two friends. We are four friends. And three of us took knowledge together, and one took knowledge later. And I used to think that Baba made a mistake. It was not for me to be a Brahmi. One of them should be a Brahmi. Because they were so much better than me. That was my feeling during, many years. In fact, I felt like that, you know. But that that thing that you are not that good, it's good. You are poor, that's good. You are ugly, that's good. You have three legs, you have to walk with an extra leg, that's good. You have heart problems, stomach problems, that's good. You're not so clever, not so intelligent. You don't have nice contacts in your family. You speak a funny language that nobody understands. That's good. Because when I embrace all of that, I embrace God. Because you see, Baba accepted me. Until I accept myself fully, that means I didn't accept Baba fully, completely. There are some corners or edges of Baba I didn't accept. There are some aspects of Baba I can't accept because I don't accept myself fully either. I still question. And really, in terms of change and the spiritual life and this journey we are doing, you can only change from acceptance. I have seen so many people changing from refusing something, from doesn't like something. And most of these people, they go back to that thing. They go back to that behavior. Maybe not all, but most of them. Well, when I became vegetarian, I tell you, I think for about 10 years, I was still looking at meat in a, well, you know, kind of regretting way. I cannot eat that. Because I really didn't accept the fact that was my life. Then one day I accept, yes, that's my reality. I came from a family that everybody eats that, and they eat a lot, in fact. That's okay. I accept that. And I move forward. And I move on, and I move on, and I move on. So, if you have impossible things that you got full success, remember them a lot. Enjoy them a lot. You know, these are things, these are memories. You know, Sachin Bhai was talking about memories yesterday. These are memories you should remember and remember and remember. And they give you enthusiasm for the rest of your life. Even Dadi Gulzar, during some time, she used to say, if you feel sad, if you feel bad, just remember Madhuban, remember meeting Baba, remember something. Remember the family. Remember something that brings you that happiness. Second, if you got a partial success, so you got success, but with stress, problems, no? Ken Bai, he used to draw. I don't know if you know. Ken is an artist. So, we had a program in Brahma Kumaris called Million Minutes of Peace. So after that program, Ken Bai did a sketch, no, how do you say, a drawing of an angel. But the angel was with a punch here. The clothes were all torn. The wings were kind of crooked. And even the little thing here, hello, was broken. And he was smiling, say, yes, he finished the Million Minutes of Peace. So, learn the lesson. Enjoy. Okay, you didn't get full success. You got tired, you got stressed. Gosh, that's wonderful. What's the lesson behind? And third, those impossible things that are impossible, I won't tell you to forget them. I won't tell you to give up on them. but accept them as impossible things. It's the elephant in the room. Just put something over that and that's it. And work on that. And move forward. Move forward. Just move onwards. And you see wonders. You see things happening in your life relate to that impossible situation that was never solved. Things that you couldn't even imagine that could happen. I couldn't imagine a member of my family to come to Madhuba. I mean, that was super impossible. And the funny thing is that my uncle, he looks just like me. So when he came to Madhuba, some people, they mixed. They thought it was me. It was funny. And so it was beautiful. So that's it. Om Shanti. So let's go to Baba. Let's talk to Baba about how much he accepted me. Let me hug Baba very deeply.
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।